نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، إخوتي وأخواتي في الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Inshallah, we continue with the book of Sharka, or the chapter of Sharka and Al-Wakala. Bab Sharka Wal-Wakala. Last week we talked about the different types of Sharka. Sharka of Al-Inan, Sharka to Al-Inan, Sharka to Al-Abdan, and شركة المضاربة، شركة الأجور، and شركة المفاوضة. These are the five types of شركة that we discussed last week. We also talked about الوكالة. الوكالة meaning agency. And we say that الوكالة or الوكالة is permissible in almost everything. That is, for somebody to be a representative or an agent of another person. That is, a person will be the principal and another person will be his agent, his deputy. He said this is permissible in almost everything, except what we have text for, that not, it is not permissible to practice agency or to deputize one in that regard. And we mentioned some of these things. Who can remind us of some of the things that we mentioned, that it's not permissible for one to be an agent of another person? Nam. Okay. Nam, in case of Madra, that is, somebody murders another person. Can a person be an agent of the other person, or how? Maybe you are talking about the kafala issue. Kafala, that is when one is serving as a maybe a surety for another person. Who said it is not permissible in the aspect of what? Haddun, in the aspect of punishment. Somebody is to be given 100 lashes for committing zina, for instance. Somebody is supposed to be given 80 lashes for defamation. Or somebody is to be stoned to death for committing zina. Somebody now says, I'm going to stand in place of him. I'm going to stand as a guarantor, so to say, or a surety for him, to allow him to go. And when it is time that you carry out the punishment on such a person, I will fetch him out. So this is what al-kafala, and said it's not permissible with respect to penalties or punishment. But if it is not penalty or punishment, maybe the person is owing another person, and one is saying maybe he should be released, that he's going to pay. If he doesn't pay at as when due, then this is known as what? Abboman. Abboman, that is surety, or we say guarantee. So this is kafala and doman. Kafala and doman. When we were treating doman, yes, there is an issue that I forgot to mention, and this is also very important. It's related to the contemporary transaction. When somebody wants to get a loan from the bank, for instance, now, or somebody wants to buy something from somebody, they may require or request for bank guarantee. They may request for bank guarantee, that a bank should stand as a guarantor for such a person. What is the Islamic ruling on this? Is it permissible for one to take bank guarantee? What is the Islamic ruling? Who can tell us? What is the Islamic ruling on bank guarantee? Or what can you see on bank guarantee? Is it permissible according to the way you've seen it or not? Now, must you have money with the bank before the bank can be a guarantor? Must you have, that is, I mean, in the contemporary dealing, must you have money up to the amount that the bank is guaranteeing with the bank, or is there a condition?
I think from the lot we have to be back,
now it is the tool they practice. They practice the tool. At times a customer of a bank may have about let's say 10 million with the bank, for instance, now. And the customer wants to engage in a transaction. And that transaction requires a bank guarantee. So maybe the customer wants to engage in a transaction with a third party. And the request for bank guarantee, take for instance that maybe the person is engaging in a business of 5 million naira with the third party, and the request for what? Bank guarantee. So, and the customer is having about 10 million from the bank. So if the bank is standing on behalf of the customer here, so these scholars will call what? Abboman al-Mughaffa. This type of guarantee is covered, because the customer has money with the bank. So if the customer defaults, the bank will pay on his behalf. The bank will pay on his behalf. From what? From the money he has with them. So this is called what? Abdomanul Mogato. This is what? Permissible. Even if the bank takes some charges on the services, yes. So it is permissible. But if the customer does not have money with the bank, so the bank is going to pay on his behalf, and when the bank is paying on behalf of somebody, it's going to be what? Loan. So, and this will what? Attract interest. So this will be what? Riba. And most people today, when they take bank guarantee, they do not have up to the amount the bank is guaranteeing on their behalf, did not have it to the bank. I hope it is clear. So, and that's why what is called khitab al-daman, that is a bank guarantee, will be said to be haram in most cases. Unless if it is what? If it is covered. That is, if the customer has enough with the bank, then in that case, whatever charges the bank gets from the customer as what the charges, the service charges, this will be permissible. Huh? This will be permissible. Allahu a'lam. So I wanted to say this concerning Abdoman when we are treating this topic, because it has to do with what? The contemporary transaction. Wallahu a'lam. The same thing, letter of credit, because it's khitab ul-daman. It's khitab ul-daman. It's the same thing as what bank guarantee. Now I'm going back to al-sharka and al-wakala. We said there are five types of sharka. Then al-wakala. Al-wakala is for you to stand for somebody in what the person can do. Instead of the person doing it, you stand in his place because the person has appointed you, has given you the right to serve on his behalf or to act on his behalf. This is called what? Al-Wakala. And we said Al-Wakala is permissible in almost everything. Somebody wants to marry, for instance, he can ask somebody to go and give proposal on his behalf. This is what? Wakil. The so-and-so person is interested in you. He has been what? A wakil for the applicant, the suitor. So this is what? Permissible. Somebody wants to divorce his wife, he can ask somebody to go and tell the wife that what I'm divorcing, this is what? Al-wakala. So in almost everything, you can do al-wakala, except in what you have text for it that you cannot do. Take for instance now somebody who deserves to be punished. Now say I'm appointing somebody as my wakil. No. This is not what? The punishment I want to give to him, give it to me. No, this type of wakala is not what? Okay. Maybe he's going to be stoned to death. Instead of stoning him to death, stone him to death. No. This type of what? Wakala is not permissible. Or somebody supposed to pray, now say, oh, I'm busy now. Please, my brother, pray, observe the salah on my behalf. This type of wakala is not what? Permissible. Or fast. It's not fasting. Wakala is not permissible. Of its place. The only reason why it may be permissible to fast on behalf of somebody is maybe the person is what? Dead. Like the one who is owing fasting. And he or she said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Inna ummi matat wa alayha siyam shahr." My mother died, and she was owing fasting of what? Of a month. Afa akbihi anha? Can I pay on her behalf? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yes." فَبَيْنُ اللَّهِ أَحَقُّ بِالْقَضَاءِ. So it is permissible in a situation like this. Likewise, Hajj. You can do Hajj on behalf of somebody on two conditions. The first one is that what? The person must have reached the age of incapability. The person is incapable of doing the Hajj. Maybe old or seriously sick, that the sickness is something that one does not have hope of being healed from the sickness. So in a situation like this, it is not permissible to do Hajj on behalf of that person. Or if the person is dead, so one can do Hajj on behalf of such a person. All this we have what? Evidences for them in the Sharia. All this is clear. So these exceptions to the general rule. That is, the general rule is that what most ibadah should be done by the one that is composing on. But there are some exceptions. Then, most things, wakala is accepted in them. You can do the wakala on behalf of a person. There is nothing wrong with this. So let us go back to the hadith on that. We have taken the hadith of Abu Huraira, likewise the hadith of Sa'id ibn Yazid, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Ammar, Sa'd, the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu going to Khaybar. So this hadith, you said they are what? They are da'ifa. The hadith are da'ifa, with the exception of which one? With the exception of the hadith of Sa'id, which is said to be Hassan, that his messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked somebody who was his sharik, who was his partner in Jahiliyyah. This one is what? It's Hassan. But the hadith of Abu Huraira, the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah, these three ahadith are da'ifa. But the content of the ahadith are in line with the teachings of al-Islam. When Urwat al-Bariqi, from Urwat al-Bariqi, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعث معه بدينار يشتري له أضحية. الحديث رواه البخاري في أثناء حديث وقد تقدم. السيد عروة الباركي may Allah be pleased with him said that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم بعث معه بدينار. He sent him on an errand. بدينار with one dinar. يشتري لو أضحية. To buy أضحية for him. What is أضحية? Sacrificial animal for the Eid. Al-Adha. This is called Udhiyya. So Urwa al-Bariqi said, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him on an errand to buy Udhiyya for him. Ibn Hajar said, Al-Hadith. That is complete the Hadith. He said, the Hadith has been watched, has been discussed before. He just brought the Hadith here. Why? Because of the relationship of the hadith with this topic of al-wakala, this topic of what? Agency. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed Urwatul Bariqi as an agent. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the asil, that is the principal. Urwatul Bariqi was the agent, al-wakil. So when he appointed him to buy for him a sacrificial animal for the Eid al-Adha, and Urwat al-Bariqi went, Messenger of Allah gave him one dinar. When he got there, he was able to buy with one dinar two sheep, two sacrificial animals. He bought two. The expectation of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that he will buy with one dinar, one sheep. So he asked him to buy one sheep. But when the man got there, he was able to buy with one dinar, two sheep. What should he do? Why to be any one of you, or any one of us, what will we do? Muslims, you give the person one sheep, and you watch, you take one, you sell it, you pocket the money. This is what a typical Nigerian would do. Or let's say a typical human being would do. Unless somebody who has what? Faith. Somebody knows that there is a day is going to account for that that he has pocketed. So Urwa al-Bariqi, an agent of the Messenger of Allah, when he got back to Medina, or on his way back to Medina rather, he saw somebody who was asking him, that old man, you are having two sheep with you. Do you want to sell them? He said, okay, I would like to sell one. So he sold one for one dinar, and he took one sheep to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the dinar, which means he had returned the dinar given to him by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to him, and at the same time he had given him the sheep. When he narrated the story to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was happy. فَدَعَ لَهُ بِالْبَرَكَةِ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam supplicated. He asked for the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him. It was reported. Ibn Hajar said what al-hadith, meaning complete the hadith. So when you go back to Sahih Bukhari, or to Sunan Abi Dawud, or to some other books that contain this hadith, they said, وَكَانَ لَوْ اشْتَرَى تُرَابًا لَرَبِحَ فِيهِ. It were to buy what? Sand. Huh? La Rabbi Hafi. The word you make profit out of it. If it is sand, it will make profit. Because of what? The dua of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So people would like to make him as what? As agent, as an agent for them. They want to take him as a sharik, as their partner in business, because of the dua of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the reason why Ibn Hajar brought this hadith that he had used before is just to tell us that what? Agency is permissible. Why? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used Urwatul Bariqi as an agent. That is just the only reason why he has brought it. But the hadith contains a lot of lessons. One, there is one thing, and that is what? Lil wakil hukmu al-asil. Lil wakil hukmu al-asil. The ruling that is applicable to the principal is also applicable to the agent. Let's assume that as Urwa al-Bariqi was going, he was attacked by the armed robber, and the dinar was taken away from him. Is he responsible or not? Is he responsible? Why? It is not negligent. It is not negligent. Or he has not been watched. He has not done that intentionally. Now, we said he's not responsible. Is this the way we treat people? When they are our wukala. When they are what? They are our wukala. When they are our agents. Do we treat them that way? Or we take them as what? Being responsible. Let's say for instance now, you have somebody who is your ajir. Ajir. He's an employee. The one that you have employed is your ajir. When we talk about ajir, there's what? Ajirun khasun and ajirun am. The one you have employed may be a personal employee. As you employ somebody to your business now, to be doing one business for you. This is called ajirun khas. But ajirun am is somebody who is working for you, but he's also working for other people. Take for instance now a tailor who is sewing clothes for you and for others. He's ajir. He's an employee. He's like you've employed him to work for you. And the one that is working for you personally, that is not working for other people. The agreement is between you and him. He's working for you. Like when somebody employs a housemaid, for instance, This is what ajir. If the ajir that is personal now, maybe breaks something or does something, is he or she responsible? Is he or she responsible or not? Yes, no. It's not responsible. Because al-ajir, that is khas, fasana ajir, is what? Yaduhu yadu al-amana. Is working as if you are the one working. So if you break something in the house, for instance, now, you are not going to hold yourself responsible. Definitely, the ajir is also what? Not responsible. Unless if you can prove that what? He or she has been negligent. Or he or she has done it deliberately. But if it's something that happens by a mistake, you will say, I'm going to deduct this from your salary. No. But somebody may ask now that, okay, but I'm paying this person now. The fact that you are paying him doesn't mean what? Doesn't mean he should be responsible. But if it is ajirun am, the general ajir, like tailor, like carpenter, furniture maker, like that they are working for other people, not only you. Do you treat them the same way? Some scholars said yes, some said no. The reason why they said no is that the person is not working for you only, it's working for other people as well. Why some said yes? You are going to treat him the way you treat yourself, unless you can prove that what is negligent, or he has done it deliberately. Take for instance, you take your car to a mechanic, and the mechanic puts the car in the right place. In the right place. But that car, maybe the armed robber, they came and they broke that place. A secure place, but they broke it and eventually they went away with the car. Is it responsible or not? Huh? No, he has kept the car in the proper place. And you do not have what? The evidence that this person has connived with other people. There is no evidence that he has been negligent. Is he responsible or not? It's not. So this they also apply, because they will tell you is what? Yaduhu yadu amana. He has not been negligent. So you have to take it. You put yourself in his what? In his shoe. So if you have kept it in your house and you have taken the necessary thing and this is done, are you going to be responsible for it? No. So the way you treat yourself is the way you treat your wakil. Even if it's what? Wakala bi ajri. If it's what? Wakala, agency with what? With wage or with salary that you are paying that person. The fact that you are paying him does not mean what? He should be responsible. Unless if one has evidence that he has been negligent or he has done this deliberately, then in that case, will be responsible. How this is clear. So, one of the lessons in the hadith of Urwa al-Bariqi is that Urwa al-Bariqi was representing the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if the money were to be taken from him or had been taken from him on his way, he would not be held responsible by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, unless if there was evidence for what? For his being negligent. Or maybe on his way back from Medina, the sheep that he had gone to buy was what? Taken from him. Or the sheep died on the road. He will not be held responsible. Because the wakil hukmu al-asli. The wakil has the same ruling as the asli. Obviously, it's clear. You ask somebody to go and do something on your behalf, to go and sign a paper on your behalf. Then the person signs the paper on your behalf, then you want to dissociate yourself from that. No. Whatever he has done is binding on you, because you are the one that has what? Taken him as your representative. You have appointed him as your representative. But when somebody has not been appointed, or somebody has been appointed as representative on a particular thing, then that person now goes to do other things that you have not appointed him to do. Is that binding on you? No. Because this is not your agreement. Your agreement is this: you have appointed him to do this, you have not appointed him to do this. Naam, Urwa al-Bariki bought two sheep with one dinar. Let's assume that when it got to Medina, Messenger of Allah did not accept, did not approve that. What will happen? That, I did not approve it. This, we may not get this well. Take for example, somebody said, okay, go and buy this thing for me, one dinar. Let's assume Messenger of Allah gave him the one dinar to get the sheep. When he now got there, the sheep is what? Two dinar. Now, so can I have an extra one dinar with me? Let me join it to assist my muwakkil, my principal, and to assist him in what? In getting this thing. Let's say he now got it for two dinar instead of one dinar that the muwakkil had expected. He got it for two dinar. He got back to Medina. The Messenger of Allah said, no, it's only one dinar. Is it binding on the Messenger of Allah sallam, to pay the remaining one dinar? No. Why? Because he has not what? He has not told him to do that. This is the agreement, is what? One dinar. And that's why we have to be careful. When somebody asks you to buy something, he gives you money, please get me this thing. Now, so if I should ask some money to get it, it's better. If you now come back and the person refuses to what? To sanction your transaction, then Islamically is not what? It's not guilty. It is you that have done that thing without his consent. That is what? Guilty. Now one may say what? Diyanatan. That is or muru'atan, considering manhood. Naizati, that maybe you should watch. He should give you. But when you take it to court, it's not binding on him. When you take it to Sharia court, they cannot force him to watch, to pay the difference, because he has not instructed you to do that. How this is clear. But now he has sent you to buy something, you now get it cheaper. He has asked you to buy something, he has described what he wants for you. When you get there, you get that in cheaper. Can you buy it? Or you must be looking for the one that is up to the amount that he has given you. Huh? You buy it. Because with that, you have not violated anything. In fact, you have really assisted him. You have assisted him in what? Saving some money. Now, the money that is saved, is it binding on you to return it to him? Or you can pocket the money, since he has budgeted one dinar for it, and you have been able to get that in less than one dinar, can you pocket the remaining? Why? Why can't you pocket the remaining when, if you have bought it more than what he has given you, you'll be responsible if you have not sanctioned it? Because he has put you in a position of trust. So in this case, you have to tell him that what, this is the amount I got this thing. So if he wants to give you, he gives you. And if he does not want to give you, it's not binding on him to what, to give you. Because you are his wakil, you have to be sincere to him, you have to be straightforward. So and that's why you have to return that money. Just as Urwa al-Bariki returned the dinar to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is something that we ought to understand. You are sent on an errand, and they have given you maybe transport here, maybe you are asked to board the plane, you have to go by air. But you discover that what, if you go by road, you can save some money. Is it permissible for you to go by road? Huh? If yes, why the, what's the evidence?
As long as you get to
the, as long as what?
You get to
the, now, have you been straightforward to the person who has sent you? You are his wakil. He's sending you on an errand, but you have used a dubious way of what? Saving money for yourself. No, but he has given you the money. Is what? Is amana. He said what? Go, and what you are supposed to go by air. But because you want to make money, you try to save what? Save money by going by road. No, it does not matter the shares that you pass through. But the issue is that what? You have not been straightforward to the one who has sent you. You are his wakil. So this is the area we should look. You are his wakil. So you don't have the right to go by road unless if that is what? Agreed between both of you. Okay? This is you can go by air, I'm giving you by air. But if you like, you can go by what? By road. And whatever is left, you can take it. So if you decide to go by road without his approval, when you come back, you return what? The balance. So you have only assisted him in what? He's saving his money. That's what you are saying. When they give you for transportation, it's amana. And when they say, okay, transportation, they will mention the type of transportation. No, it will be mentioned, there is no how. When they give you, go to Abuja, they know the amount. That's for air. And if you want to go by road, they know the amount. So when they give you, this is what? This is your the flight fare for where you are going. This is, it will be stipulated. It will be mentioned. But the same thing. The same thing. So if you do not spend the amount given to you, what will you do? You will return it. Just as Urwa al-Bariqi did. Said, okay, this is for one sheep. He went, he bought it less than the amount given to him by Messenger of Allah. He returned what? Because he's what? A man. So unless if your boss specifies otherwise, that okay, whatever is left is for you. But if this is not specified, then in that case, one does not have the right to watch to eat it up. All this is clear. So the specifying of such may be something that is what? Mentioned by word of mouth or by writing, or it may be what? Explicit one. Just as we say, al-ma'ruf urfan kal-mashruti sharpan. What is known in the culture that when they give you, they don't ask you how you have spent it. And this, if it is known that instead of boarding plane, you go by road, there is not going to be any query on it. You are not going to face any panel if they know that. What concerns them is for you to just go. Then in that case, it's like what? Approval. But if they get to know that you go by road and you're supposed to go by air, you are going to face a panel. That means what? It's not acceptable. And that's why most people, when they go on things like that, you see them preparing fake receipts. To cover what? To cover the anomaly. All this is clear. So it means what? It's not something that is approved, customary, so to say. So this is also benefited from the hadith of Urwa al-Bariqi radiallahu anhu. Now the next hadith, وَأَنْ أَبِي أُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ بَعَثَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عُمَرَ عَلَى صَدَقَةَ الْحَدِيثِ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم sent Umar to take sadaqah. We know the hadith the practice of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he would send people out to get what? Sadaqah, particularly for al-amwal al-zahira, like sadaqah for the livestock, sadaqah for the farm produce. Messenger of Allah would send companions out to get this. And these people, they will call them al-musdiqoon, that is those who are collecting sadaqa, the zakah, or they call them al-amilun, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used in the Quran, innama sadaqatu lil-fuqara wal-masakin wal-amilina alayha, wal-amilina alayha. The sadaqa that is benefiting from the zakah collected is for the fuqara and the masakin and the amiluna alayha, those the government, the Islamic government has appointed to collect zakah from people. Don't forget to say something, that when somebody has not been appointed by the Islamic State to collect zakah from people, if he appoints himself collecting zakah from people, he has no right to take from the zakah. He has no right to take from the zakah. Is that clear? Who can tell us the reason why he has no right to take from the zakah? Huh? He has not been appointed. Why? Why is it a condition that somebody must be appointed by the Islamic State, by the government, to collect zakah from people before he himself can be entitled to watch? Now, the issue is not collecting zakah from people now. The issue is, can he be one of the beneficiaries of the zakah he has collected from people? Or it is a condition that before he can be one of the beneficiaries of the zakah he has collected from people, he must have been appointed by the state. That is what is stipulated in Sharia. Okay, I want us to look at the reason. What is the benefit of this condition? Yes, check and balances. Because for instance, when they tell you that I'm also collecting zakah, and when I collect zakah, you give me yours, you give me yours. I collected about 2 million, 3 million naira. Shaitan may just put it in my mind. Allah said what? Wal-amiluna alayha. So one of the beneficiaries of zakah is al-amiluna alayha. So there is no need. This money I can what? Pocket it. And I will take that as what? A business. That what? That will be more lucrative than those who are even working tirelessly. But when I know that if I appoint myself as what? Amilun, as a worker in that aspect, whatever I collect after a lot of stress, I've gone to this, I now collected all this. If I know that I cannot benefit from this, I'll look for what? Another job. But if I know that what I can benefit from it, then I will see it as what? A lucrative job that I will be doing. Then by the time you know it, it's another outfit, zakah outfit again. Zakah outfit. So it becomes what? A very lucrative business that everybody will be doing. And this will be destroyed. But when we say al-amilu alayhi, if it is a government that has appointed, the person will afterwards deliver to the government. Then after delivering to the government will not give him from what he has taken. So that is what shaken balances. I hope it is clear. So Umar radiallahu anhu was one of the Umar, one of the Muzdiqun. So he was asked by the Messenger of Allah to collect zakah from people. So when he now went, he and some others, they went to three people. They did not give them. They went to Al-Abbas radiallahu anhu, he didn't give them zakah. They went to Khalid bin Walid, he did not give them zakah. They also went to a person called Ibn Jamil, he did not give them zakah. So they went back to the Prophet ﷺ, and these people did not pay their zakah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَمَا يَنْقِمُ إِبْنُ جَمِيلٍ إِلَّا أَنْ أَغْنَاءُ اللَّهِ إِلَّا أَنْ كَانَ فَخِيرًا فَأَغْنَاءُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَرْمِهِ. Ibn Jamil, why is he refraining from paying zakat? He was poor before Allah enriched him. When Allah enriched him, so what he used to compensate this is for him to now what? Deny the zakat. To say he's not going to pay zakat. It was said that Ibn Jamil was a munafiq or so. But maybe later his affair was better or became good later. So Messenger of Allah commented on that man. He said, as for Khalid, amma Khalidun, fa innakum tazlimuna Khalidan. As for Khalid, that you have said he did not pay his zakah, you are wronging Khalid. You are unjust to him. فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ حَبَثَ أَعْتَادَهُ وَعَدْرَاهُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. This person that he said does not want to pay zakah, somebody who has put in the cause of Allah all his armors and his weapons, that these are fi sabili Allah. With the same person now deny zakah, not paying zakah. No, you are, maybe you have not asked him well. Maybe he's not aware of that. Maybe he doesn't have what? Wet left to watch to pay zakah. Not that he doesn't want to pay zakah, because this man has done something that is tremendous, that ordinarily one would not do, if not for the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For him to have denied to pay zakah, or for him to have refused to pay zakah, there must be something. So you are wronging him. And that is what you see, the sincerity and the justice of the Prophet in dealing with people. When you bring a matter to him, I know that the person that you are speaking about is not somebody that is like the way you have presented him. He will try to watch defend that person, the way he defended Khalid bin Walid. That doesn't mean that he will always defend him in everything. You know, Khalid bin Walid had been sent by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to a people. And these people, they said that they embrace Islam. So they are now saying what? Sobana, sobana, sobana. Meaning sobana, according to the language, so to say, and the, what is it called? The dialect that Khalid understood means what? We have disbelieved. We are disbelieved. But according to the dialect of those people, they are also Arabs. Their own dialect, Sobana, means what? Aslamna, aslamna. We have embraced Islam. They were happy. So, but they are saying Sobana, Sobana. Khalid radiallahu anhu started killing them. So some companions, they said, no, how are you killing these people? When this matter was tabled before Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahumma inni abra'u ilayka mimma sana'a Khalid. Oh Allah, I dissociate myself from what Khalid has done. He did not say what Khalid. Khalid, they will call him Saifullah, the sword of Allah. He was ash on the believers before he became what? Muslim. When he became Muslim, he was ash on the unbelievers. He was one of those who led to the defeat of the Muslims in the Battle of Uhud. Then he was a disbeliever. When he embraced Islam, he will show the enemies of Allah Pepe. But in the course of this, he made this mistake. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what? Inni abra'u ilayka mimma sana'a Khalid. Oh Allah, I dissociate myself from what Khalid has done. The shahid is that the fact that he said, what? Amma Khalidun fa'innakum tazlimuna Khalidan, does not mean we always support him in everything. So areas where Messenger of Allah knew that we have gone wrong, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forged him and dissociated himself from Khalid. And Khalid was so bitter from his practice. So the Messenger of Allah said, Amma al-Abbas, as for al-Abbas, fahiya alayya, it is on me. وَمِثْلُهَا عَلَيْهِ. And watch. And the like is also on me. Scholars, they say, what is the meaning of this? Some said, the meaning is that watch, Messenger of Allah has collected zakah from Abbas before. Not only for a year, he has collected for 2 years. So they will use this hadith and one in Sunan Abi Dawud to say, watch, you can pay your zakah in watch in advance. You can pay your zakah in advance. Despite the fact that you don't know what your wealth will be by next year, but you are paying in advance. So what happens if your wealth is more than what you have paid? Scholar said, what? You add the remaining. Maybe next year, for instance, your zakah is going to be 1 million naira, and you have paid in advance 500,000. So which means you add what? The remaining 500,000. And if next year what you have paid is more than what you are supposed to pay. What happens? So if you like, you do sadaqa with the remaining. If you like, you watch, you postpone the remaining till what? Maybe the following year. So Messenger of Allah said, Fahiya alayya. Fahiya alayya. That is, it's on me. It's what? On me. It's on me in English can also mean two things. Sorry? What do you know of it's on me in English? I'm going to pay for him. And it's on me can also mean what? Maybe he has given me. So that's why scholar they disagree. What is the interpretation here? Does that mean that Messenger of Allah is going to pay on his behalf? Or it means that what he has paid Messenger of Allah said, Fahi alayya wa alayya mithluha. And the like of that is also what on me, which means even for the next year he's going to watch pay that. Or he has paid up to next year all this I watch on me. And I said to Umar radiallahu anhu that, O Umar, Ama sha'arta anna amma rajul sinu abi. O Umar, don't you know that the uncle of a person is like his father? The uncle of a person is like his father. So this last part of the hadith makes some scholars feel that what Messenger of Allah is going to what? Pay on his behalf. Fahiya alayya means what? I'm going to pay for him on his behalf. So make some scholars. But the hadith in Sunan Abi Dawud suggested that Messenger of Allah took the loan of 2 years of zakah from Al-Abbas radiallahu anhu. So, and this is the more correct opinion, wallahu alam, that he had collected the zakah from Al-Abbas. He collected for 2 years. No, not that Messenger of Allah watch who eat it. We know that Messenger of Allah does not eat what? Zakah. He doesn't eat zakah. He only takes what? No, sadaqah and zakah, the same thing. He does not take sadaqah, he does not take zakah. When we say sadaqah, it may be sadaqah that is compulsory, which is zakah. And it may be sadaqah that is what? Mustahabba. That is not what? Compulsory. Both of them, Messenger of Allah would not take from them. And that was why the young boy took from the sadaqah of date. And Messenger of Allah pulled it out of his mouth. And he said, أَمَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ الصَّدَقَةَ لَا تَحِلُّ لِمُحَمَّدٍ وَلَا لِآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ. Don't you know that sadaqah is not lawful for Muhammad, Muhammad's family? A boy like maybe of 2 or 3 taking from sadaqah, putting in his mouth. He didn't say, no, leave him, he's a small boy. No. Because this means haram for them to eat. Messenger of Allah corrected the situation immediately. But he would take from what? He would take gifts. When a Muslim comes and says, Ya Rasulullah, Havi Hiba, O Messenger of Allah, this is what? Gift. This is Havi Hadiyah. He will take. But Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Messenger of Allah will try to reciprocate that again. The reason is that he does not want somebody to have what? Anything to count on him. That I give him so and so, I give him so and so. So whenever he sees the opportunity to reciprocate that, he will reciprocate that. Because people, when they give you, they are given for different reasons. So people are given so that what they can get more from you. Yes. This is what's common with the women. When maybe a woman delivers a baby now, and some people come, they give her this. They are given so that when they also deliver, you reciprocate. If you don't reciprocate, yes, it's permissible in the Sharia. When you give, because you are what? Expecting from somebody to also be permissible. But it's not something that is what? It's not something that is mustahab. Huh? When you give. Don't expect from the person that is what? That you are given to give you back. Somebody once gave the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Messenger of Allah reciprocated by giving the person. He saw the kind of worry in the eye of that person. He now added to what he has given him again. He could still see what? The disturbance. He added again the disturbance. So, which means the man expected more than what he has given. Far. Messenger of Allah said, that's what I will not be taking gifts from people except from so and so people. So the shy idea is that Messenger of Allah will take gifts and he will also compensate back the one that he has given. On his own, he will do that. But what is good is that when you give, don't expect people to give you back. That is best. But when you give, you expect somebody to give you, no harm. It's not haram. But the best is for one not to expect. Now, what is the relationship of this hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu to this? The relationship is that what Umar radiallahu anhu was appointed as a wakil by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an agent of what? Zakat. And the agent what? Is wakala the ajrin. His agency with what? With salary or wage. They will pay him. And what is the evidence for that? إنما الصدقات للفقراء والمساكين والعاملين عليها. So they were appointed as agents and they will also be paid. But let's assume that on their way back to Medina, after collecting the zakah from the people, they were waylaid. And these things were taken away. Would they be responsible when they get back to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If they are non-negligent. But if they are negligent, they will watch. They will be responsible. Now let's say this. Somebody wants to pay zakah. Then one of the bodies who are putting themselves down to collect zakah from people, they now go to this man, okay, or they advertise themselves that we are distributing zakah on behalf of what? On behalf of people. And I say, okay, mashallah, so and so company, let me take my zakah there so that they can distribute. Or they come to me, I give them the zakah. The man working for the company, working for the body, when he comes and the zakah is given to him on his way to their company, the money was what? Maybe it was taken. Who is responsible? Huh? Now the man, those who are collecting the zakah, who have put themselves down that you are a body collecting zakah, are they working for the government or they are working for those who are paying zakah? They are working for those who are paying zakah. They are not working for the government. So if money is taken away from them, the principal, that is the one who has paid the zakah, is not free. He will have to pay back the zakah. Because those that he has given the money to, they are working for him. They are not working for the government. I hope it is clear. If you look at it from this angle, you say, what? They will have to pay the zakah back. But some scholars said, yes, they are not working for the government, they are working for them. The man, those body, the body is representing him. But let's assume somebody wants to pay zakah now. And the zakah on its way to giving the zakah to those who are beneficiaries of the zakah. Maybe an armed robber attacking and the money is taken away. Is he supposed to pay another money? Or he say, well, the one he has paid is gone. Is the question clear? Somebody wants to pay zakah. On its way to giving the zakah to the beneficiary, not to a body now, because there is no difference between the person and the body. They are working together. The body is only representing him. But now on its way to the beneficiary, the money is what? Is stolen or is taken by the armed robber. Is zakah still binding on him to pay? That is it compulsory on him to look for another money to pay the zakah, or la yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha? What is the evidence for that? Now this is something that is compulsory on one. So one has money to pay. Part of the money that you have taken what the zakah amount. But when you are trying to deliver the money to the beneficiary, it was, can't you take from the money you still have? Or the one that has been taken away from you, and you've been free since it is taken from you, not by negligence now. What if they are not entitled to zakah? And how do they know that this money is for zakah? Now, we need an evidence, maybe from the hadith, that. Okay. Well, JazakAllah khairan. There is another evidence. Okay. There is a clear one that addresses something like this. JazakAllah khairan. A story of a man who wanted to pay his zakah. So one day he was going to deliver the zakah. So he saw somebody feeling that, oh, this person must be what? A beneficiary of zakah. Somebody is qualified to be a zakah, to be a zakah beneficiary. So he gave to that person. People were saying, the person that zakah has been given to is what? It's an armed robber. This one is not a beneficiary of zakah. So when the man heard people saying this, he was disturbed. Okay, he said, I will pay it again. So the following day again, he went and looked. He gave to somebody. The person he gave to happened to be a prostitute. So another day, he said, okay, when he had people discussing this again, okay, I will do another one. So when he went again, he said, what I'm going to do? And he gave to somebody. The person he gave happened to be a rich man. So the zakah he has given has fallen in the hand of those who are not what? Beneficiaries of zakah. So Messenger of Allah said, well, the rich man that he gave that money to, this would be what? A kind of lesson for him to also what? To also be spending. If somebody can give you this amount, then you should also be ready to part with this. So the prostitute, this may what? Prevent her from prostitution. As for the armed robber, so this will also what? Prevent him from what? So the man, when the man did that and he was told that, okay, you have given this, he said what? Alhamdulillah, ala tariq wa zaniya wa al-ghani. Give thanks be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the zakah I've given to the prostitute, because he didn't have what? Any other option. So if it is zakah that is not compulsory, or it's compulsory one, so we said what is rewarded for that. And so, some of the scholars use this as evidence to say what? The man who is what? Who is going to pay the zakah and falls, or maybe is attacked, that the zakah is what? Is lifted for him, doesn't have to what? To pay it again. This they use as what? Evidence. Why some scholars said no? Since he has not delivered it and he still have money with him, then if you take from the money and what? Give out the right of Allah to the right people, to the beneficiary of the zakah. The mistake that he made or what happened to him can only be justified when he does not have what? Alternative. But since he has alternative, he should do. This is another view of the scholars. Wallahu a'lam. But this is with respect to what? Talking about the person who is paying zakah. We said the bodies today that are operating, whatever they call themselves, that are operating, they are representatives of the people. They are not representative of the collectors, the beneficiaries. You know, the government, Islamic government, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was the representative of the beneficiaries. So those bodies today, they are not representative of the beneficiaries, they are representative of the payer. So and that's why they can tamper with what the money Some people, they will be giving zakah and they will expend the zakah for something else. Take for instance, now zakah is given to you. Okay, you want to do some programs, we use this money for zakah towards to print what? Posters. Is zakah meant for printing posters? No. So, and that's why we should differentiate between the two. We should differentiate between the two. So, if the one who is representing, the government, zakah is collected from him. There is no doubt from that the payer is what? It's free. I'll disclaim. There is no doubt that what? The payer is free. And that's why Abu Radallahu Anhu was a wakil of the government of for zakat of what? Zakat al-Fitr. We remember that hadith. When a shaitan came and said to Abu Radallahu Anhu that I'm a poor man and this, I have family. When he took from the zakat al-Fitr that was kept with Abu Radallahu Anhu, Abu Radallahu Anhu left him. He allowed him go. When he listened to him and said what? And the zakat al-Fitr is what? It's for the poor. And this man said what? He's poor. He has family. So he allowed him go. And then Allah asked Abu Hurairah, what about your visitor yesterday night? He was surprised when he heard this because he knew that was not there. But Allah had informed him about what transpired between him and that shaitan. Abu Hurairah never knew he was shaitan. He thought he was an old man who was poor. So he said, he complained to me that he had so-and-so problem, that he had children. He said he has told a lie. He said he will not come back again. So the following night, he came again, wanting to steal from the zakat al-Fitr. And Abu Hurairah caught him again. The man was giving the same excuse. Abu Hurairah allowed him go. That's when Allah asked him, what about your friend, your visitor? He said he came back home. And he said, what? The same story. He said, and he has promised he will not come again. He said, he has lied, he will come again. So he came the third time, Abu Hurairah caught him, and in the same excuse. He now said, please, I will do you a favor. And favor is that what? I will give you something that if you recite, shaitan will never come close to you. Recite Ayatul Kursi. When you said Ayatul Kursi, no shaitan will come to you. Messenger of Allah saw Abu Hurairah the following day. He asked him, what about your visitor? He said, he came again and he said the same story. But he not said something like this. Messenger of Allah said, for that cocker. As for him telling you to recite Ayatul Kursi, the shaitan will not come near you. So that cocker, he has what? Told you the truth. Wahuwa kadhub. But he's a great liar. Scholars have deduced from this that if you seek truth from somebody, even if the person is the worst enemy of yours, you should accept the truth from him. Don't say, no, I'm not going to take the truth from you because you are my enemy. Because I hate you. No. When you see somebody who is your enemy is correcting you, don't look at the area of being your enemy. Look at the area of what he's telling you the correction that he's doing. The correction done by your enemy is the best correction. Not the correction done by your friends. Because friends, they seldom tell one another the truth. You know, when you are entering into the bush, or into a hole, your friend will be supporting you. Particularly the psycho fans. They tell you, you can do it, you are the best, you are this, you are that. Because of what they are getting from you. But somebody who is your enemy, when he sees something good in you, he will criticize it. So about when he now sees something that is what? Evil in you. That will be more criticized than what is good. And that's why if you want to correct yourself, look at what your enemies are saying. With that, you'll be able to rectify yourself. And when your enemy praises you, know that is what? That is a good deed you have done. Somebody says, though I have problem with him, but it's a very nice person. Though I hate him. That is a very good recommendation. though I hate him, but he's a very nice person. So, Messenger of Allah said, what Sadaqaka wa huwa kadhub. He has told you the truth, but he's a great liar. And that's why you don't condemn people completely. You don't condemn people completely. Where what is good in them, let people know this is what good. Though there is what we have reservation on things like this. But when you say there is no any good in him at all, this will make somebody feel somehow that no, you are not being sincere. How there will be no good in somebody at all. I disagree with you. But when you say the person is not good, but in this aspect is what is okay, they will see what you are saying as what? Sincere advice. So, but the reason why Umar radiallahu anhu, and why the author has brought this hadith of Umar, is that what Umar was a wakil of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the reason why he has brought it. And as he said, there is no harm in what being a wakil, one with respect to zakah, and one is in what stage. Or somebody is a wakil in any other thing, and you have been what? You have been paid. When the believers, when they go to battle, and they won the booties, they what? They will distribute the booties of the war. That does not destroy their what? Their ikhlas. Unless if they specifically go for the jihad because of wealth, not because of what? Promoting Islam. But see, because the reason is to promote Islam, but at the same time they will have to eat. They have family. Islam caters for that aspect by saying some of the booties of the war should be given to them. Those who have devoted their time that want to go and collect zakah from people for the government, so they've devoted their time for that. So Islam recognizes that what they should be paid from the zakah. I mean, other things like that. But the problem is when one is not making the major intention for partaking in zakah collection or in partaking in the battle to be what? A dunya, to amass wealth of this world. Then in that case, the person on the day of Qiyamah, we have no reward before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وعن جابر رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نحر 63 وأمر عليا أن يتبع الباقي الحديثة. From Jabir, he said that Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم slaughtered 63 sheep. وأمر علي أن يتبع الباقي. And he ordered Ali to slaughter the remaining. الحديث, the hadith. Now, the author said الحديث, meaning what completes the hadith. But if you want to complete the hadith, you are going to read a very lengthy hadith in Sahih Muslim, talking about the description of the Hajj of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the author just brought out this part. He just brought out this part. Now the part has to do with what? Messenger of Allah appointing Ali radiallahu anhu to slaughter 63, to slaughter the remaining camels. Messenger of Allah himself slaughtered 63. Now when Messenger of Allah was coming from Medina to perform Hajj, he brought some camels with him. And when Ali radiallahu anhu was also coming from Yemen, he also brought some camels with him. So the number of the camels, the total number of the camels was 100. When they were doing slaughtering, you know, the one who performed Hajj Tamattu or Hajj Al-Qiran will have to slaughter compulsorily. So Messenger of Allah did Qiran, Ali radiallahu anhu also did Qiran, though he assumed his own ihram on his way from Yemen. So when he got to the place where Messenger of Allah was, Messenger of Allah sometimes asked him, Bima ahramta, what type of ihram did you take? He said, ahramtu bima ahrama bihi Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My ihram was the type the Messenger of Allah did, which means it was also what? Qiran. So So Messenger of Allah, the camels brought by Ali and the camels brought by Messenger of Allah were what put together, totaling 100. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam slaughtered 63 with his own hands. He slaughtered 63 camels with his own hands, and he asked Ali radiallahu anhu to slaughter the remaining. How many? 37. Now, have you seen the relevance of what Ali radiallahu anhu, what Ibn Hajar brought with the topic? Who can tell us the relevance? On behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Messenger of Allah allowed him to be a wakil for him in slaughtering the 37 remaining camels. Not sheep, sorry. Camels. He allowed him to assist him in slaughtering the remaining 37 camels. So this is what? Wakala. But the wakala is not wakala, the ajrin. It's not that Ali is going to take any benefit, any reward, monetary reward from it, or any wage from it. So both of them are permissible, whether it be ajrin or the very ajrin. But the issue is that what Ali slaughtered on behalf of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is what? Wakala. Now there is something here that is, scholars will call it a kind of maybe coincidence. Messenger of Allah lived 63, he spent 63 years in this world, and he slaughtered 63 camels. Coincidence. Was it a coincidence or a deliberate action from the Messenger of Allah? Wallahu a'lam. But that is how it went. 63 years, 63 camels slaughtered while performing Hajj. So, but the relationship is what? Ali radiallahu anhu representing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in slaughtering. One Abi Urayrata from Abu Uraira, fi qissat al-Asif, in the story of al-Asif, al-Asif meaning al-Ajir, that is the one employed, the laborer, so to say, or the maid. There was a story. Somebody was employed, a young man was employed to work in the house of another man. And this man was married. So this boy that was employed was a grown-up. Eventually, this grown-up committed zina with the wife of the man. One may ask, how could a married woman fall for an ordinary employee? Despite the fact that what the husband was rich, well-to-do, worthy. So how could a wife now humiliate herself to the level of what? Falling for that. That is what? The handiwork of shaitan. You know the case of Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, who was bought as a child and was brought into the house of the minister. And the wife of the minister looked at the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, and she fell for him. And she insisted that Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam should have what? Illicit acts with her. We know the story in Surah Yusuf. What could push the wife of a minister to do such? Somebody that you just bought in order to assist, you bought in order to treat well. Now a woman now presenting herself before such a person. That is what? The handiwork of shaitan. So this happened during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just an employee to be assisting them, and with that, the issue ended by the man having sexual intercourse, illegal intercourse with the wife of the man. So the reason why Ibn Hajar brought it here is what? We see the reason, inshallah. But the story goes thus. Now this man There are people who are passing fatwa that, what you do is that what you have to, this your tithe will be stoned to death for having what, committed zina. Some people are saying he's given this fatwa. So the man has said, the father of the ajir, the father of the man who was working under another person, now say that, okay, what can I do so that this, my tithe, will not be stoned to death? He said, okay, maybe I should ransom him with 100 sheep. I should ransom him with 100 sheep and a slave girl. Meaning the father was also what? Not bad, rich. But the man was an employee to the other person working with them in the house. So, when the man wanted to do that, he said, I now met some scholars, some people of knowledge, who now told me, no, that is not the religious student. It's not your child that will be stoned to death. Your child will be given 100 lashes, and what? He will be banished from the land for a year. As for the wife of that man, she will be stoned to death. That is the religious unit. So, the man, the employer, whose wife had committed zina, and the father of the employee, both of them took themselves to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the father of the employee spoke before the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, what the people have said is what is wrong. But what is correct is what the other people have said. And that is what? Your tithe will be given 100 lashes and will be what? Banished from the land. As for the wife of the woman, sorry, the man who committed what? Zina. So let's go back to the hadith now. It says, Fikisat al-Asif, in the story of the Asif, that is the ajir, the employee. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وغدو يا أنيس أو أنيس Messenger of Allah called one of the companions أو أنيس وغدو على مرات هذا Go to the wife of this man فإن اعترفت If she confesses that she has what? Committed illegal sexual intercourse with this man فارجم her stone her to death. Now we've seen what? The relevance. What is the relevance? Unes. Unes is what? Wakil of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah is supposed to carry what? Carry out that if it is proven that the woman has committed zina. But the hakim, the ruler, can appoint some people to do that. They will be his wukala. And that's why the usual of what? Punishing people because they've done some, committed some crimes that need hard to, it's not in the hand of every Tom, Dick, and Harry. This is the beauty of Islam. Somebody will say, you will say that somebody has committed zina, so because you see them doing that, then the next thing for you to watch, let's go and stone at you. Who are you? Are you authority? If no, then you are playing with your watch, your life. If you kill such a person, then they kill you back. So it is the authority so that everything will be regulated. It will not be what? It will not be chaos. And that's why some people who are taking laws into their hands, they believe that's what they can do. They can do and undo. Killing people, destroying lives of people, all in name of what? Trying to defend Islam. And Islam is what? Free from this. If at all some people have committed some crimes, this is what? In the hand of the ruler. And when you don't have Muslim ruler who executes the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Yours is to what? To control yourself. Make sure you are keeping to the laws of Allah. But for you to say, no, we are going to establish Sharia in this country. We are going to do this, carrying placards. All this nonsense. No. Do implement Sharia on your life. You do Sharia yourself. I help you of myself. We all come out implementing the Sharia. But if somebody is appointed by the authority, للوكيل حكم الأصيل. The wakil has the ruling of the Asil. Out of this claim. So this is what Messenger of Allah VDA. Now, apart from the relevance of this hadith to the topic, there are some benefits. One, we see the evil of what? Grown-up people being what? Employees, being in isolation or seclusion with those who are not here what? They are mahram. You see the evil. If you say, okay, I'm so pious, wallahi, wallahi, you can't be more pious than the companions. There were cases of zina recorded during the time of the companions. So these are the best people. And that's the Messenger of Allah who said, what? Ibn al-shaytana yajri min ibn Adam majra dam. Shaytan flows in the children of Adam the way the blood flows. So he cannot say, okay, wallahi, I'm more pious, I can't do, auzubillah. Wallahi, if I'm in seclusion with 100 women, I can't do anything with them. Wallahi, that is what? It's lie. Prophet Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah says what? وَلَقَدْ هَمَّ بِهَا وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَنْ رَأَى بُرْآنَ رَبِّهِ. If not for the sign of Allah that Yusuf alayhi salam saw, he almost fell for the woman before he insisted that, no, I will not do this. Your husband had been good to me. And the woman said, what? If you do not do what I'm asking you, then you're in problem. And Yusuf was running towards the door, and the woman was chasing him and tore his watch, his garments. And immediately the master came in, the woman turned the matter. Said, what is the reason of somebody who wants to do evil with your wife? So not to talk of those who are not companions, those who are not godly, that you say, okay, no, now you have to allow this. And this is what fitna. This fitna we are talking about is what we are facing in Saudi Arabia. There are women, they pamper them to the extent that what they will employ maid for them in everything. One to be cooking, one to be washing, one to be doing this. Grown up people. Then a lot of evil going on in the society. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahmahullah ta'ala said, he's advising people to be careful of things like this, because a lot of evil, a lot of cases have been brought to him. Somebody may come to him, the employee fornicated with his wife, or the husband fornicated with the employee. Where somebody takes a lady as a maid, for instance. Now you are in the same room, the same flat with going. A grown-up girl, the husband at times, shaitan may watch, push him to watch to do evil with this girl. A lot of evil that have been covered that is only between the lady and the man. A lot of evil that has been covered that is only between the man and the lady, that he is the wife and watch and the employees. And that's why you have to be very, very careful concerning things like this. The companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if things like this happen during their time, because the Ajib, the one who was employed, was what? Was a companion. Despite this, shaitan used him. So who are we? So the best is what? We should be careful. And that's why Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالدُّخُولَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. Avoid entering upon women. Somebody said, Ya Rasulullah, fa'ayat al-amwa, O Messenger of Allah, what if I'm the brother of the husband? Said, al-amwa al-mawt. The brother of the husband is what? Is dead. That is worse. The one that is most likely to fall in that trap is this person. Because you see, after all, my brother to the... And that's why we have to be careful. And this is also to tell our sisters not to push your husband in falling in what? In traps. You have to take this thing for me. You know, I'm working, I'm doing this. Let us get somebody that will be cooking, somebody that will be doing this. Where will the person be living? When they take girls, they employ girls, where will she be living? In the same flat? Or there will be what, an accommodation for us apart from that one. If it is in flat, you have what, invited evil into your house. And if it is man, that is, you have also invited evil. If it is man, you are likely to be affected. If it is woman, your husband is likely to be what? Affected. So this is the problem that they are facing in Saudi Arabia. So the extent that some scholars are giving the fatwa that, okay, maybe they should be doing Irdaul Kadir. That is given the man that is employed to work, given her some milk from the mother, from the woman. So if he takes the milk of the woman maybe 5 times, so it becomes what? Haram on that man to marry. That has not solved the issue. What is on ground now is not the issue of what? Marriage. They said so that what, the man will be free to enter upon the woman. As if one of her children rather are entering upon her. So this man that has been employed maybe from Philippines or from Indonesia will also be free to enter upon the woman. Should not be covering herself from him. So that is the reason why but that does not stop zina. When you talk about Irdaul Kabir, is somebody who understands the deen that what? We have a situation that is so corrupt to the extent that what? A father is sleeping with his daughter. You are not talking about somebody being breastfed and that person will now what? Will now abstain from what? Having sexual intercourse with somebody that he knows that is not his mother. It's somebody who has understanding of the Sharia that will go away from things like this. So this is something that you ought to understand. Then we look at it again from the angle that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wadu ya unais ala imrati ada." Fa'in itarafat, if she confesses, does that mean that what, the confession of a woman is enough? Even a man is enough without 4 evidences? Yes, it's enough. Somebody confesses that I've committed zina. That is enough. But in the situation where maybe they think the person is insane or so, they may try to verify that. Like the one that happened to Mari when he committed zina and he was disturbed. He went to the Messenger of Allah and he said, "What, I've committed zina." The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I've committed zina." The Messenger of Allah was trying to ask him, maybe, he said, "I've committed zina." The man insisted. And he asked that maybe people should smell his mouth. Maybe because he's intoxicated or so. They smelled his mouth was not smelling of intoxicant. So he insisted. And Messenger of Allah asked that what? They should execute him by stoning him to death because he was married. Because he was married. In the case of this Ajil that was given 100 lashes because what? He was not married. So somebody is not married who fornicates with a married woman, the punishment what? Could differ. Because he's not married, he will be given 100 lashes. The woman who is married will be stoned to death. When we say marriage is not maybe somebody has had sexual intercourse before, no. We mean marriage, Islamic word, marriage. A woman who has been fornicating or who has fornicated before now commits zina and she's caught. What will be the punishment? Stoning to death or 100 lashes? Why? Because no nikah shari has happened. The same thing is applicable to the man who has committed zina, not marriage. So it will be 100 lashes. Because that having sexual intercourse with a woman without who is not in nikah is not considered as what? Being muhsan. Muhsan is somebody who is married in the legal way. Now commits zina, that muhsan becomes what? Somebody who is entitled to be stoned to death. So in the case of the man, the employee, he was not married before, while the woman was married. I hope it is clear. Now, a woman who is married in a legal way, But the husband has not slept with her before she commits. That is the first person to enjoy her is somebody who is committing zina with her. What will happen to that woman? Stone to death or? No. Not only legal marriage that consummation has also what? Taking place. Legal marriage, consummation has taken place between her and the husband. If she commits zina after that, she's stoning to death. How this is played. But if it is before consummation that she commits a zina, it is what? 100 lashes. And the and jailing him in an Islamic society, they will jail him for a period of year. How this is played. So in this case, the case of this man has become commonplace. People have had it in society. So, and the woman had confessed that she committed zina. So the way Maris also committed zina. And he confessed that he committed zina. When Maris was being stoned to death, he recanted. That he said, no, I did not commit zina. When he saw the pain and the heat of what? Of the punishment. And people ran after him, they stoned him till he died. They now told Messenger of Allah the story that he was trying to watch, recant what he had said. Messenger of Allah, you should have left him. You should have left him. It was the one that came that said, what, I committed zina. If he says no, you should have what? Left him. The shy idea is that what? This woman confessed and she was turned to death. And this was what? Was done by Unais and the other people who went with him. So they are wakala of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So turning to death, as you have said, is for somebody who is married and the person has not, the person has been slept with. The person is married and has been slept with. It's not a condition that maybe the person is having a wife now, or the woman is under a husband now. It's not a condition. If she has been married before and she has been slept with by the husband, so this is the condition. Whether the husband, whether she's still under the husband now or no more under the husband, the wind is what? A rajmu. Now there are some people who are saying, no, there's nothing like rajmu. What we have in the Quran is what? It's 100 lashes. This is what? Not understanding the Quran. Umar radiallahu anhu in a lengthy hadith in Sahih Bukhari said, this is what they read in the Quran, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abrogated the recitation, but the ruling was still there. Said, a time will come when some people will say, well, there is no rajmu in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, the time has come. Some people will say, what? There is nothing like what? Rajmu. In the past, those who go against stoning to death of those who committed zina that are married are the Khawarij. That is what was known. The Khawarij, the Mu'tazila. But today, we have a lot of people who are what? Who are going against this, like the Ahmadiyya. And some people who are not Ahmadi, but because they don't have understanding of the deen, those who do not have understanding of Arabic language, and want to watch, want to be du'at, want to interpret the Quran, want to preach the Sunnah, preach Islam to people. So they will be going against things like this. The ahadith on rajmu are mutawatira. Many ahadith talking about rajmu. Umar practiced it, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam practiced it. The companions, and many other companions, they practiced this. Why they were what? Khulafa. So it is something that was mutawatir. But some people today who understand the deen better than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, understand the deen better than Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman. So they said, no, there is something like what? Rajmu. Just like we said some weeks back, we have some people today who are saying what? Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is not coming back. Why? They said what? That is against the Quran. That what we have in the Quran is that Prophet Musa, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is dead. Where is it written? He said what? Inni mutawafika wa rafi'uka ilayya. Inni mutawafika, what does it mean? He said, yeah, I'm going to kill you. Wa rafi'uka ilayya, and I'm going to take you up to me. Now, where is the contradiction with, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to take you up, and what Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam coming? In many ahadiths in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, so the contradiction is that Allah said what? He has killed Prophet Isa, that I'm going to kill you. One, this is what? Not understanding Arabic language. If they understand Arabic language, إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيكَ وَرَافِعُكَ وَوْدِيَ لَا تُسِيبُ التَّرْتِيبُ does not mean that what? This one is going to happen, then this will happen. If I said what? أَكَلْتُ السَّمَكْ وَبَيْضَ I ate fish and egg. Which one did I eat first? I ate fish and egg. Which one did I eat first? From my statement now. Huh? Even in the English language, I ate fish and egg. Does not necessarily mean that what you understand that what? I ate what? Fish first before egg. I'm just telling you that what? I had both. So in Nimutawafika, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to take your soul. Warafi'uka ilayya, I'm going to lift you up. That does not necessarily mean that what? It is killing that will come first before what? Lifting. It will be what? Lifting that will come first and what? Killing what? Will follow. This is what people make sense. I hope it is clear. Not on top of what? Having many ahadith talking about what? The coming of Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Is there any contradiction here? But this one, because he doesn't understand Arabic language, says what? There is contradiction. So he doesn't believe in the coming back of Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Then even the word mutawafi or the word tawafi in the Arabic language has many meanings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? Allah yatawafa al-anfusa hina mawtiha. Allah is the one that what? That does tawafi of the souls hina mawtiha when they die. وَالَّتِي لَمْ تَمُوتْ فِي مَنَامِهَا Allah is the one that does tawafi of the souls that have not died when they sleep. So Allah is the word tawafi in both. But one has to do with what? Death. The other has to do with what? Sleep. So when an Arab man says, tawafaituka, I give you, that is, I fulfill. Tawafaituka malak, I give you a what? Your word. Maybe you are owing somebody now, and you fulfill your what? Your agreement with him. Tawafaituka malak, I give you your, that's another meaning of tawafi. But if one does not understand the Arabic language, there is a problem. When you read the translation of somebody who has translated, you may be what? Fighting on that. So if somebody reads the translation of the Quran of the Ahmadi and believes he is a scholar, so there is a fitna. Or he reads the translation of the Quran written by a Khariji, there is fitna. So that's why we take the lessons and the knowledge of the deen from the source. From the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in knowledge. May he subhanahu wa ta'ala make our feet firm on his path. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanaka wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Let us check it one after the other. Then concerning that, some people who wanted to feel as if it is something that is not okay to happen from a prophet, to have what, to fall for something, they want to defend that. So they say what? Walakod hammat bi wa hamma biya. Hammat bi, they say what? The hammat bi biya is what? Amul Iqbal. That is, the woman wanted him. Wa hamma biya. So the hamu of Yusuf is hamu of what? Al-imtina. That no, I'm not going to accept. But there is no need for that. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was a human being. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was going one day, he saw a woman. And what? He had something in his mind. And he went to one of his wives to satisfy himself. And he said that if any one of you sees this, فَلْيَأْتِ أَلَىٰ he should go and meet his wife. So, for a man to have interest in a woman, it's not a new thing, this is natural. But the issue is what, how do you curb what shaitan has put in your mind? That is what matters. So this is the area we should address. The most important thing that Yusuf a.s., the iman in him did not allow him to watch, to fall for that. Though the mind already wants to go for that, but what? The iman, and that is for everybody that is upright. When you see something, say for instance, a woman is provocatively dressed, exposing her nudity. When you see her, if you're a complete human being, you watch, you'll be moved. But immediately you watch, you try to correct yourself. But for somebody to say, no, no, it does not affect me because of the iman that I have. What type of iman is that? No, that is what? Lie. It's like somebody saying, what? No matter the bottles I take of intoxicant, I will not get intoxicated. That doesn't make it halal for you. And that is what? Lie. You would take bottles to an extent that what? You become what? Intoxicated. So the blunt truth is that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created man and woman, He has put some things in us and He has asked us to guide these things, not to fall in fitna. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was able to guide this because of the piety Allah has put in him. Wallahu alam.
When we are in mother, a man, a boy, he knows about what is there.
What is the dinner?
Now ask one of our sisters, how is the man? Are able to marry the woman? Because one comes to getting sex in intercourse, I intervene. You now go and I know what will happen if I do anything with them that is the dinner. But there is one of one in my hand now, and I want to do that. What can I do? You start out asking me, you need to go to the house? Yes. Your father knows you? Our father knows you? Yes. Our mother and uncle? Yes. Now, that is the kind of man on you. You can do anything with
him. How did that?
Later, you find out to trust. Now, the other is that what is it?
It's dinner.
It's marriage. Maybe even the marriage.
But you didn't know that it's dinner. Now, Allah save us from the mufti of fitna. Just like what we read in the hadith, when we go back to the Sahih, that some people told the man that what your son is going to be stoned to death, whereas the right thing is that what the son is going to be given 100 lashes. So there are what a lot of muftun. A lot of people are given fatwa with what? With ignorance. And that is very, very bad. May Allah save us from that. Because al-qawlu ala Allah, saying this is what? Islamic position. Huh? This is what? Islamic position. Saying that. And that is not Islamic position. At times it's worse than shirk. Because somebody who commits shirk, this is his own affair. But somebody is what? Doing al-qawlu ala Allah, what is not Islamic ruling, say this is what Islamic ruling, is misleading a lot of people with this. And that's why Allah says what? Wa anta qulu ala Allahi ma la ta'lamu. So what this man has said is what? Is nonsense. There's nothing like what? Nikahu ma'nawi. What is nikahu ma'nawi? It's simple. You want to marry somebody, go to the father or the guardian. I'm interested in your daughter. And what? It's okay. I agree. I allow you to do that. This is what? Nikah al-Shar'i. And at least there are two evidences, two witnesses to that. That is nikah that Islam is talking about. But not following this method, the lady, that is the girl, and the boy, they are going about entering the house of one another, being in isolation, seclusion together, hugging one another, being all sorts of rubbish with one another, or maybe to the extent of having sexual intercourse. If they do not have sexual intercourse, it is zina. If they have what? Sexual intercourse, it is what? Zina. I hope it is clear. But the one that is worse is when they have sexual intercourse. This is the main zina. So after maybe they have had sexual intercourse with themselves, and they have done a lot of evil, they now go to the parents to say, okay, this. So then they will say, we are now allowing this. Or a parent will tell his daughter, when the daughter says, oh, my father, I want to bring somebody that I would like to marry to you. No. You are not ready for that now. Face your study. You are destroying this lady, this girl's life. Face your study. Who tell you she's going to face her study? When she leaves you, she's going back to that man. And they will be doing whatever they are doing in what? In secrecy. They will be doing it secretly without having you know, without allowing you to know this. And this will be simple. Because the girl has what? Has respected you enough for her to have what? Come to you and explain, my father, I want this. He said, no, you are not ready for that. Now she now goes and commits zina. Then you have assisted her. She will be sinful for committing zina, and the father will also watch. The parents will be sinful for driving her into that. But when they come, okay, that doesn't disturb education, wallahi al-azim. I've said it several times here. There is a scholar very popular in the world, in the Muslim world. They call him Muhammad Mutawalli Sha'rawi. He said he got married. This man died at the age of 90. He said he got married. His father married a wife to him after he finished his primary education. And this man rose to become great scholar in the Muslim world, who will be taken to different countries to deliver talks, to the West. He was a very renowned scholar, and he died at the age of 90 or so. So did that destroy his academic performance or his academic excellence? Now, how can you bring a girl of 18, 20, that has not tasted this thing? Whether we call it marriage or not, that have not tasted this thing, a girl of 18, 20, if you see today, these are what? Exception to the what? To the rule. So most people, they have been what? Introduced into these things. But when the parents, they see things like they don't go against. But when they hear marriage, no marriage. What is marriage? What is marriage? One of the most important aspects of marriage is what? Sexual intercourse. One of the most important aspects of marriage is what? Sexual intercourse. The issue of what? Having children. This is if Allah has what? Destined. There are couples who did not what? Who did not have any children. So the most important aspect of marriage is what? Sexual intercourse. So that man can satisfy himself and woman can what? Satisfy herself. In a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legalized. But the mother said, or the father says, no, I don't mind you having sexual intercourse or doing all this. But marriage? Don't bring marriage. What is marriage? So, and that's why we have to understand things like this. What those people did is what? It's zina. But if it was done, maybe it is that malam that has misled him. The sin is on the malam. So they should what? Try and rectify. What maybe eventually they sought the hand of the lady in marriage, I don't know. If they sought the hand of the lady in marriage, whatever they did before that time, if truly they did not know the ruling, in Allah Ghafurur Rahim. But if they knew the ruling, the man was just trying to watch, justify his wrongdoing, then this is what it is evil. Now, a masjid that was recently completed, but completed with borrowed money. Huh? Okay. Now, completed with borrowed money, can the committee of the masjid organize an award and chieftaincy ceremony to raise money to pay off the debt owing by the masjid? Now, the masjid was completed by borrowed money. What do you mean by borrowed money? Is it from the bank or from an individual? If it is from an individual, then there is no harm. But to get a loan from the bank in order to complete a masjid, this is not permissible. Because the bank will not give you loan except with interest. So this is not permissible. But if it is from an individual, yes, it is permissible if the committee of the masjid, they know they can watch. They can pay for this. Now, the issue of a chieftaincy ceremony, award, whatever, these are things that we use to deceive people to watch, to raise money. It has become part and parcel of the dawah now. That is, you want to award somebody, even somebody who does not pray regularly, a drunkard, somebody who is committing fornication, adultery in the open place. Because of what you want to get from you, say what you are giving him, award. What type of award? The person does not deserve to be given award. He deserves serious lecturing and admonition, not awarding such a person. So what is Baba Dini, Ya Sunnah, and things like this? These are things that what we have to be very, very careful of, because we are trying to promote things that are what, that will be inimical to the principle of Islam. But let's assume that somebody is qualified. Maybe the one who is sweeping the masjid, for instance, and I want to give him award. That is what is something else. But somebody that you just want to award because you want to get something from him. What have you seen in that person that will make you award him? What has he done? He said he's spending in the course of the masjid. What has he spent? So this is not something that is okay. Instead, what people should do is for them to organize a kind of fundraising, whatever, for the masjid in order to offset the debt. So this is what should be done. Not to deceive you by saying, we want to give you award, we want to do this, wallahu alam. Committing shirk is a major sin in Islam. Yet most or many Muslims commit this shirk without knowing. Please enumerate further the hidden shirk so that Muslims too will be warned against associating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what is shirk? Majorly is calling on other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when in prayer. While you are calling, maybe you are calling Rauka Yailu, or you are calling Jabjabatishu, or you are calling the name of a jinn, or you are calling the name of an angel, or you are calling the name of a prophet, or the name of a messenger, or the name of anything. Ya so and so, do so and so for me. This is what? Giving Allah's right to that person, to that thing. This is what? Shirk. Now, ya in the Arabic language is to indicate that you want to call. So if I say, ya, Zaid, oh Zaid, I've called Zaid. Is that shirk? No, that's not shirk. Because I'm not calling him in the place that I'm supposed to call on Allah. This is not what you are talking about. But when you say, ya Sheikh so and so, come and do so and so for me. Or you say, ya Muhammad, come and do so. And what you are asking, that is exclusive right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then this is called what? Shirk. Somebody who goes to a grave, and he says, ya Sheikh so and so, give me charge. Ya Sheikh so and so, ask Allah to forgive me. Look at that. Ask Allah to forgive me. Ask Allah direct to forgive you. Oh Allah, forgive me. Which one is what? Which one is easier? Oh Allah, forgive me my sin. Instead of asking Allah direct to forgive you your sin, you should go to what? Sheikh that is dead, buried. Said, oh Sheikh so and so, tell Allah to forgive me. You are giving Allah's right to the Sheikh. This is what? Shirk. It's not hidden shirk. This is what? Manifest shirk. When you offer sacrifice for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what? Manifest shirk. When you rely on other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what? This is also shirk. In a place that you're supposed to rely on Allah. When you fear other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fear that in a place that you're supposed to fear Allah alone, this is what? Shirk. How? Take for instance, somebody has frightened you with an evil spirit or an evil person that he may not allow you to exist. So you have to watch. You have to respect him. How? The respect will not come by offering some sacrifices, by doing some things that what he wants. So that what? He will not terminate, he will not kill you. This is what? Giving Allah's right to that person. Somebody is not pointing a gun at you. It's not pointing a knife or so at you. But the person claims that there is a spiritual power that he has, that if he looks you or he looks at you, you just what? You die. And that thing has now what? Frightened you. You are now what? Running here and there. What am I going to do now? Okay, somebody now tells you, you are going to offer a specific sacrifice. So that what? The evil eye of that person will not. So you have feared that person more than you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your creator. This is called what? Khawfu sirr. The fear of what? Secrecy. Secret fear. That it's not that the person points gun at you, but there is an evil power that believes that what he can arm you with. So with that, you now subject yourself. You submit yourself to that person. So this is what? Shirk. So, and many others like that. Now, when you say shirk khafi, hidden shirk, some scholars are of the opinion that when you say hidden shirk, they call is another name for what? A shirkul askar, the minor shirk. There is no one that is good, whether hidden or what? Or manifest. No one is good. Is there another name for what? Take for instance, now when somebody says that, if not for the Panadol that I used yesterday, I would have died. If not for the Panadol I used yesterday, I would have what? Died. Yes, Panadol is a sabab for what? Taking away headache or pain. But is it what takes away the pain? No, it's Allah that takes away the pain. But Allah allows you to use Panadol as a sabab. So you should not rely on the sabab and now forget the musabbib. Allah is the causer. You don't rely on. So when you now rely on the Panadol, forgetting Allah, the musabbib, then in that case, one has committed shirk. Obviously. So this is what? Shirk asgar. The minor shirk. But when you now say it is what? The Panadol, that you believe it is the Panadol that is doing it, that becomes what? Shirku akbar. Now when you not believe it is Panadol that is doing it, but you are ascribing it to the Panadol, is what? Shirku akbar. But when you believe it is Panadol that is doing it, then it is what? Major shirk. How do you get a difference? Somebody who is tying rope on his hands, and things like that, and believes with this, when somebody tried to watch, to cut him, he will not be caught. So this is what? Putting that thing in his hand ordinarily is what? Shirku asgar. Why? Because Allah does not sanction that as a sabab. It's not allowed in the Sharia to put on rope, thinking the rope what will protect you from one evil. Look at that. Panadol is allowed. As a sabab. Rope, tying rope on your hand as a sabab. Putting gate before your door is what allowed at the Sabbath to prevent you from being what? From your building from being burgled. Huh? It's allowed. But you should put trust in Allah that Allah is the one that is protecting you. But Allah is giving you as what? Sabbath. But tying one broom before your house, before your door to say what? This will protect you. This is not allowed. So when you tie the broom, by tying the broom alone, you've committed what? Shirk Asghar. But when you put gate, no shirk Asghar. Until what? You are now saying as if it is what? The gate that is. When you now believe inside you that it is the gate that is doing, not Allah, then this is what? Shirk Akbar. But in the case of the broom, right from tying the broom there, shirk Asghar. So when you believe that what? When you are now relying on the broom, shirku asgar again, another shirku asgar, making two. When you now believe it is the broom that will do it, not Allah, then shirku akbar. So what Allah has allowed at a sabab that you can take, when you take it, you believe it is just, this is just what? Sabab. The one who is doing it is Allah. All this is clear. So when you believe it is Allah that is doing it, then you are not committing shirk. When you are saying it as if it is that thing that is doing it, you are saying it that way, then that is what? Shirk Asghar. Then when you now say what? No, it's not even Allah. You don't believe it is Allah that is doing it at all. That is that thing that is shirk Akbar. So these are things that you ought to understand. When you take food now, you are hungry. When you take food, food is sabab to chase away your hunger. You take it as sabab. But when you believe it is this food that is chasing away your hunger, is what? Shirku Asghar. When you believe not Allah, Allah has nothing to do with what my hunger going, it is what? The food. Shirku Akbar. How this is clear? Because if Allah had willed, you will eat that food. Eat, and watch, you will not be okay. And that's why some medications will be used by patients, and the ailment will not go. What happens? If it is that thing that what? That cures. Why has it cured this one and has not cured this one? It means what? Allah is the healer. Is the one who cure, not the medicine. But that medication is what? Sabab. So don't rely on the sabab and watch. You disregard the musabbib. And at the same time, don't say, I don't want sabab. I leave everything to Allah. That is also not good. You only say, I'm not going to eat. Allah watch. Feed me. You want children, you say, I'm not going to marry. If Allah likes, he will send children to me from heaven. So this is what? Leaving sabab and watch. Say you are relying on what? The musabbib. This is what? This is foolishness. And Islam does not want us to be foolish. So take the sabab that Allah has sanctioned. Don't take things that Allah has not sanctioned as sabab. Taking what Allah has not sanctioned as sabab is what? Shirk Asghar. When you rely on that thing again, you are mentioning that as if that thing that is doing it, shirk Asghar. When you believe it is this thing that will do it, not Allah, shirk Akbar. So this is just show off. You spend, people say, this one is spending in the cause of Allah. You give lecture, in the cause of Allah. But inside you know that what? You're spending your lecture and things like this, what to show off. This is what? Shirk Asghar. How this is played. And when you have a lot of show off, if care is not taken, it becomes what? Shirk Akbar. And that's when scholars are talking about show off, they will say what? Like what? Minor show off. Which means if show off becomes what? It becomes much. It may be what? It may be shirk Akbar. Like somebody, when he spends, show off. When he gives talk, show off. When he reads the Quran, show off. He's praying, show off. Fasting, show off. Hajj, show off. Everything, show off. What is left? So if he is not taking the person watch, loses all his deeds. So, Wallahu alam, is something that cannot be exhausted in this type of... Now, can a Muslim sell a land to a Christian even though the Muslim knows that the land will be used to build a church? Answer is capital no. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Allah says, assist one another on piety and what? Goodness. وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Don't assist one another on al-ithm wal-udwan, on sin and transgression. Once you know that the land that you are selling to a non-Muslim is going to be used to build a place of worship, then you don't sell it. When you sell it, you have assisted them in what? In al-ithm wal-udwan. But can you sell a land for a Christian to build house to live on? No. But when you know it's going to be used for church, no. When you know it's going to be used to build a brothel, where people will be committing prostitution? No. When you know it's going to be used to build a place where people will be gambling? No. Because when you said to them, you have assisted them on what? On doing the evil. Muslim women who wear niqab, can we say they are copying the masquerade? One lecturer said this on the radio that Ofin Tomwe Gulo Mwen anything Boju. May Allah save us from ignorance. Now, the fact that you cannot use niqab does not mean one should be attacking those who are using niqab. Because when we attack those who are using niqab, the attack goes beyond the people we are seeing now. The attack also covers the wives of the Prophet Allah. There is no single wife of the Messenger of Allah that did not use niqab. They all cover their faces. All the wives of the Prophet of Islam, this is the consensus of the Ummah. Consensus of the Ummah. That the wives of the Messenger of Allah, they all covered their faces. The female companions, there are those who emulated the wives of the Messenger of Allah by covering their faces. And we have cases of those who did not cover their faces. Now to say it is describing them as masquerade, this is what is ignorance. And this is something that is a very bad statement not to be uttered by a Muslim. The West, they are pushing us and they are dictating for us what will be our way of life. Wallahi al-Azim, I as a Muslim, I refuse to be subjected to views of these people. Why? How can somebody come and tell me that what homosexuality is permissible? And somebody will be, that person or those people will be threatening my government that if they do not sanction homosexuality, they are going to withdraw whatever aid they are given to us. Then after this, I'll wake up and say, these are the people that I must emulate. They've displayed that they are crazy. They've displayed that they are insane. So if these people are now attacking the Muslims or waging war against those who are using niqab, I as a Muslim, am I supposed to be a tool for these people? What the wives of the Messenger of Allah used, what the companions used, the female companions used, then somebody will be telling me that this is a smash of uncivilization, so to say. Then I'll bench towards the view of that person. That shows I myself I do not have understanding of the deen. So any person that makes jest of those who are using niqab, such a person is playing with kufr. Because niqab is part and parcel of the deen of al-Islam. So the fact that you can't use it doesn't mean you should be attacking those who are using it. And this is what we should learn. There are a lot of things that we are unable to do now because of the weakness of our iman. Once it is established in the Quran and the Sunnah, then we should know that we are the ones that are weak. The deen remains the way it is. And you supplicate that Allah assist you in doing it. Not that well, because you can't do it, you'll be condemning it. So if that is the deen, that means everybody can attack what he cannot do. If you are praying, I'm not praying, for instance. Now I attack those who are praying, not his prayer, nonsense. Allah, what Allah is interested in is what is in the heart. It's because I don't pray. But if I pay zakah now, you say, I don't know why the Muslims are not paying zakah. How can somebody call himself a Muslim and he will not pay zakah? Because I can do that. So when I get to things that I cannot do because of the weakness, I condemn. Things that I can do, I condemn those who are not. That is not Islam. Islam is a total way of life. Udkhulu fi silmi kaffatan. You take Islam completely. Well, I tell you, khutwat is shaitan. Allah says, don't follow the path of shaitan. Innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. Shaitan is the clear enemy for you. Wallahu a'lam. Now, okay. Now, any organization that collects zakah on behalf of the payers of the zakah, as you have said, and they disburse it, there's nothing wrong in that. That may be a good act. But where the issue comes is, are they taking from that money? Under wala amilina alayha. If they are doing that, then they are not. It is not right for them to do that. Now, how are they going to watch to maintain this body? It is simple. Let them tell those that they are representing, you have to give us extra money to do what? To assist us in executing this thing for you. Simple. Because when the person gives out the zakah, that is what is composing on him. So you will take from it to assist him in executing it. He has to give you another money to assist in executing what he has put on you. How this is clear. But if one is doing it on behalf of the Muslim government, one is working as one of those who are entitled to what? The zakah. And when you take the money, you are not going to pocket it. You take it to the government. And the government will give others and also give you as a collector. Not that when people come together now, we want to be collecting, we want to form a body collecting. So who will be those that will be deciding the money that we collect? If you decide, take for instance, maybe you are able to realize about 300 million naira zakah collected from people throughout Nigeria, you may decide that, okay, alhamdulillah alayha. So let us take two-thirds of it, alhamdulillah alayha. Then the remaining one-third, let's give to those who are in need as well. So shaitan can work, push us to that level. Wallahu alam.
I want to explain this statement that when women travel, the reason why they need to marry is because they play in the land. Yeah, I want to explain that statement. How do you want to
explain that? Now, some scholars have said that the reason why mahram is needed by the women is because of fear. So when there is no fear anymore that women can travel without mahram. Some people say this, but this is an outweigh position. Majority's position is that a woman has to travel with a mahram. I think we discussed this the other time. The only areas where scholars disagree is when a woman wants to perform Hajjul Faridah, the compulsory Hajj, does she need a mahram to do that? That is it compulsory on her to have a mahram? Al Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, of the opinion that it's not compulsory. Because this is what? This is the compulsory act. It's one of the pillars of the Hajj, of Islam. So it's not a must that there must be a mahram. As long as what? There is Rufqa Ma'muna, a safe company that they can go. This is the opinion of Imam Shafi and Imam Malik. But Imam Ahmad and Abu Hanifa, they are of the opinion that no. If she can't find a mahram, that means the Hajj is not compulsory on her. And Allah said what? Man istata'a ilayhi sabila. So the one who have the ability to go. So a woman who can't find a mahram, they said, but this wallahu alam is a controversial issue, that is with respect to the Hajj that is compulsory. But with respect to I want to go and buy gold in this place. I want to go and do business. I want to go and do all this. They are what? The majority of the scholars are of the opinion that what? A woman shouldn't travel without mahram. Wallahu a'lam. No. At what age? Now, at what age is a woman, a male or a woman permitted to marry? Now, marriage has nothing to do with age. The question may be, at what age can one sleep with, can a lady be slept with? There is age that a lady can be slept with. And that has to do with what? The ability of what? Of being capable of, the capability of bearing this. If a lady has reached the age of bearing, being slept with, then that is what? That is permissible. And this will vary from one culture to the other. When you go to Saudi Arabia, you may see a girl of 12, very big. But you may go to another culture, you see a lady of 15, very small. So when you see a lady of 15 in some cultures, you want to say, good morning, ma'am. So it's not a matter of age 12, age so and so. And that's why those who have said, okay, we have put down an age called the age of consent. Say, for instance, presently in Britain, they have age 14 or so as age of consent. So if a woman or a girl is slept with when she's 14 by anybody, and she has not said that she has been raped, she's free. No parent can do anything to the one who has slept with her, because she has reached what? Age of consent. So, sorry, age 16. So now, some people are clamoring that they should reduce the age to what? 14. Because these girls, they are doing it even at age 12. They are doing it at age 11 or less than that. So why not expand the law to accommodate these people? Look at what they are doing. But the same people, when you ask them, when can a lady get married? They say what? Age 18. What do you mean by marriage, and what do you mean by what? Being slept with. You are allowing somebody to be slept with at age 16, now clamoring for age 14. What is the most important aspect of marriage? So that's why we should look at the contradiction that these people, when they hear marriage, they run away. But when they hear what? Sexual intercourse, nothing, no harm. Abortion, no harm. So they are very what? Lenient on what? Sexual intercourse, lenient on abortion. But marriage, some will say age 18. Most countries, age 18. Some will say what? Age 22, age 23. Yeah? So this is not Islam. Marriage is marriage. Then when a lady should be slept with has to do with what? When she's capable of that. When a lady is married, take in the past, in the Yoruba land, they will marry somebody, a small girl to another, maybe small boy that, okay, omowa, I'm having small money, I will want more money. What is mama? Okay, this is what? This is the husband of. But both of them have not reached the age of what? Having sex. This is what? Preparing them for the time they will reach the age of. There's nothing wrong in that. How this is clear. So somebody can be married, but the person should not be slept with until he or she has reached the age of what? Of that. Because sleeping with somebody that has not reached the age of sleeping with her, this may be what? A destruction to such a person. Then what age will that person reach? This differs. And this is something in reality that we all have to agree to. Now in this estate, you see girls of 13, 14 having what? Pregnancy. Some of them are 15. They have had 2 children in their mother's house. Like that. Can't point to the one who has impregnated her. And what? These children will be taken as omo mommy. Then what else do you want? You have said omo mommy. You have agreed that this is omo mommy. And the omo that is not, that has not reached the age of marriage, according to what? According to your statement, has had what? 2 children. And you are taking them as what? Your children. This is contradiction. So let us face reality. We should not be enemy to marriage. Why we are what? In support of promiscuity. We are in support of zina in whatever form it comes. Allowing men to come to your house, discussing with your daughter, even leaving the room for them to discuss. And you say what? She has not reached the age of marriage. What is the most enjoyable thing in marriage? If not what you have allowed both of them to what? To be doing. So may Allah save us from ignorance. Wallahu a'lam. Now. Now, this was said last week, and I said it today as well. That is, somebody who is sick, for instance, now, during the month of Ramadan. You know, after Ramadan, you will have to pay back the fasting. But the person is unable to pay back the fasting till he dies. He's unable to pay back the fasting till he dies. So, which means he dies while owing what? A fasting of a month, for instance. So, the relative, they can fast on his behalf. Wallahu a'lam. Not somebody deliberately who does not fast in the month of Ramadan doesn't fast. He now dies. So this one doesn't have excuse in Ramadan. Why he didn't fast. The one who has excuse, maybe somebody who travels in the month of Ramadan and he enjoys what Allah has given them, that you may not fast in the month of Ramadan while you are what? Traveling. So when you other after Ramadan, you can watch, you pay it back. He now dies after the month of Ramadan. Such a person can be assisted in what? In fast. It's not compulsory on one, but he's watch something good. Because the one who falls in that has not done it deliberately. Wallahu a'lam. Now, concerning the son of Umar of the Lime, you having committed zina, this is not authentic. Then if it's authentic, let's assume it is authentic. Oh, the son of Umar is not a prophet of Allah. We have just mentioned what? An ajir who committed what? Zina. But to say the son of Umar committed a zina, what is meaning that? But there is not any authentic narration like that. Wallahu alam. No? Now, marriage of cousins, yes, they are not among those that one cannot marry. If you go back to the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa mentioned those that you cannot marry. So in our own culture today, we have included those people among those who cannot marry. So we see them as what? Our maharim. And they are not our maharim in Sharia. So they are people that you can marry. The person that you cannot marry forever is your mahram. The person that you cannot marry forever is your mahram. So your cousins are not among those that you cannot marry, not forever, or not temporarily. So the people that you can marry, if you go back to Surah 2 and Nisa. So what the Fulani are doing is something that is not permissible in the Sharia. But is it mustahab or wajib to marry cousins? No. It's not mustahab to marry cousin. Permissible. There is a difference between what? Permissibility and what? Recommendation and what? Obligation. So don't see it as what? Being recommended. Don't see it as being what? Obligatory. So when you see those who are doing it, don't attack them. That is the permissibility we are talking about. So when you are not used to that in your culture, Islam has not what? Imposed it on you to what? To do. So this is what we should understand. And these are things that, there are a lot of things like that that people take, for instance, in the Yoruba culture, people are, when somebody is married to four wives and is interested in marrying another person, the Arabs in the past, they will practice this. They have what? Four wives. They want to what? Marry another person. They may divorce one of the four wives and marry another person to make it what? Four. Don't attack the one who does it. Is that clear? Don't attack. It's permissible. But is it recommended? No. Is it compulsory? No. So we are not practicing it in our own culture. That what? You want to take a fifth wife now. Instead of what? Marrying five wives, which is what? Haram on you. So you now divorce one. We are not practicing it in our culture. So we don't bother ourselves with it. Because we are not practicing in our own culture. But those who are practicing it in their own culture, Allah has given them the ruling that you cannot marry five wives together. If you want to take another wife and you already have four, that means one has to go. Huh? No, it's not a matter of fair share. Now you want to satisfy yourself. So which means you should advise that man to make do with what? A four that he has. But for him to say, four, at least four, they are not enough for me. So I will go and take another one. So that means what? He will be engaging in zina. Now he engaging in zina, and he asking one of the four wives to go to replace another one. Which one is what? Which one is lesser? Eh? And that is istidal. That is what Allah says. Wa inna rabbakum istidal azawjin makana zawjin. Now you are talking about the Yoruba culture now. You are looking at it. You know, in the Yoruba culture or in some places, when you marry one wife and you are taking another one, you are inviting what? Trouble in your houses. So that means we should not marry two wives so that what? Trouble will not come. I've seen somebody, not even a layperson, a scholar, who he asked me, how many wives have I said two? He said, oh, if I should take another one. That is their own culture. It is difficult to take another wife in their own culture. But Islam has what? Put the rule down. If you know you are not okay with one, you take two. And I'm not okay with two, you take three. With three, you take four. So after four, no more. How about there is a woman that I'm still interested in? That means you want one to go. So you have to weigh what? You weigh the two. Do you want the woman to remain in your house and curb your what? Your sexual urge. Or you want the woman to go because you cannot compromise your sexual urge. You decide. But whichever you want to take, Islam has what? Has provided way for you that this is the way that you ought to take for you not to watch the sinful before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah wa'ala. Yes, they practice that in the Yoruba land, particularly in areas like Kwara, they practice that. So when a man has four wives already, and is interested in taking another one, so he will just assume that, okay, one has become what? Grown up, or he has become aged. So we just leave that one and we take another one, saying what? This is a new one, making what? Four. So the one he has abandoned, you abandon him like that. But it's not that what he has divorced him. When he dies, that one will come to inherit. Eh? So that means he's marrying five. And it is only four that is legal. So the fifth one, the new one that he has married is what? Zina. Because he has not divorced one of the four. So Allahu alam. Last question.
What are other means that God can use to actually confirm that
now we have this way of four witnesses, seeing both of them performing the act. Seeing both of them performing the act. So that was not reported in the history. That four people have seen them performing the act. It was never reported in the history. So this is one. We have a case where three people said we saw both of them committing zina. So they needed what? One person to you. And the other person said, well, I just saw them, not that. And those three people, they are what? They were killed for what? Defamation. Given 80 strokes. For them to have what? Said they saw people committing zina, and there were only three, nobody to force them. Huh? That is confession now. yes, that's confession. Since he has confessed, so they are relying on confession now, not on what? Witnessing. So for the witnessing to be accepted, it must be four people saying, wallahi, we saw them putting it in what? In it. So when you say, we saw them, they enter the room and they close the door, so that is what? That is defamation. Now, that is called the support to that. Umar radiallahu anhu said that when we see pregnancy, that means what? There is what? That means somebody has slept with the woman. So it's either through zina or through marriage. It depends. So if it is through zina, the woman should be asked, who has this pregnancy? If she says her husband, and it is proven that what they did, nikah. So alhamdulillah, so you are not using the pregnancy against her now. Because the pregnancy is as a result of what? Legal nikah. But if she cannot bring the evidence, that means it's what? It's zina. I hope this is clear. So this is what the general ruling. So a woman is seen now with pregnancy, and she's not known with a husband, and she's questioned. She cannot provide the legal husband that, oh, they did nikah. That means it was, it is zina. So now, she should explain. So if the armed robber raped her, that is zina. Only that what? She was forced. So she will not be what? Punished for that. She will be sympathized with. But it is what? Zina. But this all this will have to depend on our own explanation. It will depend on our own explanation. But the major thing are what? People say we saw. And what? And what? Confession. So the ones that have that has happened in the past, that the scholars or prophet himself has used as evidence, is what? Either people confession. Maiz, the case of Maiz is what? Confession. So the case of this woman that was accused, the case of the woman that we treated now, confession. So most of the cases treated were what? Confession. So, and that's why I say, why should people be stoned to death? It's not a law that is easy to watch, to be implemented. Because before you see four witnesses, that will say, okay, we have seen them putting something in something. Not that we saw them lock the gate or the door, because that will not be accepted, that would be what defamation, and it warrants 80 strokes for doing that. And not only that, the testimony of such persons will not be accepted again. Huh? Camera evidence is not allowed in Islam. And don't forget, we have watched this Photoshop or so. So alhamdulillah for Islam. So that somebody can just do this, being a Muslim of somebody who is a bodybuilder and put Obasanjo's just edge on it. So and it appears as if Obasanjo is what? It's a body. You see, this is what will be. So we don't tamper with things like this. Let us leave it to what the Sharia has said. But for us to say, okay, there is improvement now, things can be discovered through DNA, through this, you are just wasting your time. Leave it to what Deen has said. It happened during the time of the Messenger of Allah, to a man accused his wife of committing zina. And the wife insisted that no, she did not commit zina. And this matter was taken to the Prophet, and the man still insisted. And the woman insisted. So definitely one of them is what? He's lying. Messenger of Allah said, okay, let's watch. If this woman delivered the tithe resembling this man that has been accused, that means there is what? When the woman delivered the tithe, it resembled the man that was accused completely. Messenger of Allah said, if not for the book of Allah, لَكَانَ لِوَلَا أَشَانِ, there would have been what? Issue. And what is the book of Allah? Since both of them had insisted, duly and separate them forever, and they would never come together. And that was what was done by the Messenger of Allah. Never said, okay, but now they resemble, so let us. He closed that chapter. So what Allah said is that if both of them insisted, then you duly and they should what? They should cause. They should cause themselves. And somebody is so bold to curse himself or herself, leave that person with Allah. But to say what? How about let us look at that that child? No. So Islam has made it so simple. Somebody sleeps with another person's wife, and the wife is impregnated, and the man did not disown the child. Huh? It is child. Because al-waladu il-firash. The child belongs to the owner of the bed. وَلِلْآهِرُ الْحَجَرُ. But if the man disowns the child, hey, now they are going towards the arm. It is that the woman says, yes, I have committed zina. So then she will be stoned to death. Or she insists that, no, I have not committed zina. And they will separate both of them. And both of them are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. So Islam has done this thing so simple that it's not that, okay, because we are in the 24th century, or we are in the 22nd or 23rd century, so then we'll be what? We'll be changing the laws. No. Islam has made it so simple that what works for those people will also work for us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.